You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 7th of November. Donovan Mitchell, what are you doing before our very eyes? We'll talk about that. Look at Philadelphia today, and we haven't gone around the NBA much. How about we do that today as well? It's all coming up on a Tuesday morning edition, or whenever you want to listen to it, of Locked On Jazz. Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're doing great. I feel like we haven't talked much big picture NBA, so I thought we'd do a little bit of that today. Run through what we have coming up with the 76ers and talk about our kid. Talk about Donovan Mitchell. By the way, I also said we would do the road to 45 today, and we will do that. So I didn't forget, believe it or not. This show, you can grab it on iTunes and Android, and you can do it on your Google Play or your Alexa. It's funny, there's a promo that's running on our network in which I tell people that and how to do it. And it ran last night when I was listening to one of our shows. And when it ran, while I was listening to one of our shows, then what ended up happening was that my Google Home was like, I cannot follow that request. Like, it was pretty funny. That I actually think that there's a way to, if someone's listening to their phone while in the room with Alexa or Google Home, I can actually get them to play our program. Right? Be kind of funny. I don't know. Beat the system. All right, I'm a geek. I thought that was funny. You didn't. All right, we'll move on. We'll be good. All right, the road to 45. So the road to 45, which I think is too big a number for us this year. But the concept behind the road to 45 is you look at a team like Denver. You play them four times and you say, all right, we're going to play them two games at home and we're going to win one. And we're going to play them two games on the road and we probably got to win one of those. And you don't look at the schedule. You don't look at where you are, how many. You just figure the schedule equal itself out. Like who you don't go individually through, oh, well, that's our fourth game in five nights, which doesn't exist, or our fifth, and you know. So you just look at each of these teams and kind of say, realistically, if we're going to try to win 45 games, what do you have to do? If you're going to win 45 games, I think you have to play Portland and beat them once at home and once on the road. One of the key things, by the way, is if you're going to win 45 games, I think you have to beat 11 of your 15 Eastern Conference home games. You can lose at home to Boston, Toronto, Cleveland, and Washington is who I put in. On the road, you got to win 7 of your 15 Eastern Conference games. So our upcoming Eastern Conference trip gets important. I have us losing to Boston, Toronto, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Milwaukee, Miami, Charlotte, and Washington on the road. You got to go grab the others. You don't have to win a lot of road games. There are 25 Western Conference road games. You only have to win 8. Win one in Denver, one in Portland, one in Minnesota, one in L.A. We only played the Lakers once. One of the two in Phoenix, which we didn't do already. So that's one of the two in Sacramento, one of the two in New Orleans, one in Dallas. And then you got to win 19 of your 27 Western Conference games. So you end up winning 30 home games. So to win 45, you got to win 30 home games. It's hard, really hard. Again, I think 45 is a big number for us. But that's how the concept works. What's interesting about this is we're, I think, on pace. So let's walk through it. We win at home at Denver. I'm about to sneeze, sorry. How do I have allergies going on right now? I woke up with a brutal headache. Do I have allergies? So win one of two at home. We won against Denver, so you get a one for an actual win. Our projected wins to date is 0.5, right? Because you're supposed to win one of the two. We went to Minnesota and lost. Our projected wins to the date is 0.5. Our actual wins is 0. We came home and beat Oklahoma City. Our projected wins to the date is 0.5 because we're supposed to get one of the two. Our actual wins is 1. We went to L.A. and lost to the Clippers, who I did not have as winning a game in L.A. all year. We went to Phoenix and lost.
They turned out to be all right. Did they win again last night? I was watching for a little while. They were really good again last night. Oh, they ended up falling. They ended up losing to Brooklyn, 98-92. I watched the Boston and the Miami Golden State game. I didn't watch that. I flipped that one on during a break. They just are playing with zest right now. We played the Lakers at home, and we won. So projected wins to date, 1, and actual wins, 1. We played Dallas at home, who were supposed to beat both times. Projected win, 1. Actual win, 1. We played Portland at home. We were supposed to lose one of those two. We won. Actual win, 1. Projected win, 0.5. We played Toronto at home, who I did not have us beating this year, so that's a 0-0. And we went to Houston, where I did not have us winning this year. So right now, through 10 games, our actual wins is 5. Our projected wins to date is 4.5. So we've actually done everything you're supposed to do to be a 45-win team. Which, again, I think that number's big. Now, the reason I bring this up now is, okay, we got Philly tonight. You got to get it. You got Miami, you got to get it. You got Brooklyn at home, you got to get it. And then Minnesota, projected win, we're supposed to split with Minnesota. You go to New York, got to get it. Go to Brooklyn, got to get it. Go to Orlando, which is a logical travel, got to get it. And go to Philadelphia, don't have to get it. But this stretch right here, come home for Chicago, Milwaukee, is really the season-defining stretch of the year, much more than playing the good teams. The season-defining stretch is when you have to beat the bad teams. And that's really the not-as-good teams. To get to 45, that's what it takes. So it's kind of encouraging, I think. Right, I don't think people are feeling particularly encouraged right now after getting blasted twice in a row in manners that are not a way we usually lose games. I wouldn't worry about it too much, is kind of my point. But that's good, the road to 45. The other thing that's really good is Donovan Mitchell. But before we dig into Donovan Mitchell, let me tell you about Blake and the crew over at Murdoch Hyundai. So they're going to have a Black Friday sales event, if that's up your alley. We're heading toward Black Friday, which will include $7,000 off a Hyundai Santa Fe. It'll include a Hyundai Elantra for $14,999. It'll include just massive deals. So, excuse me, my throat is getting tired. So there are some 2017s still on the lot, and they are, the Sonata Sport is $6,750 off, and they are incredible deals right now. More importantly, what I can tell you is I've been driving a Hyundai now, I don't know how long it's been, a few months, and really have just been blown away by the quality of what you receive for the value. I've driven the Tucson, I've driven the Santa Fe, which was top of my list, and I've driven the Ioniq, which is their hybrid, it's actually right up there with the Santa Fe. The Santa Fe blew me away. The amount of value, safety features, smooth ride, space, power, comfort. I really felt like I was in just a high, high level luxury car for a price that's just amazing. So check it out. Add Hyundai and their 100,000 mile Hyundai assurance to your list of cars. And then the Murdochs are going to make sure that you have this fabulous experience. That's what they're about. They've been in the car business for 90 years with their Chevy dealership up at Woods Cross. Blake's running the Hyundai dealership, really just to make sure you have a great experience. And a bunch of Locked On Jazz people have gone down there. Please tell me, by the way, send me an email. If you have an experience down there, I want to hear about it. I want to hear how you're treated and what your experience is. It's Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street in Murray. Check him out. I'm sure you can talk him into the Black Friday deal early. Just tell him I said he has to do that for you. The Donovan Mitchell has got a growth factor going on right now, a week into a season that is pretty stunning and exciting. So in the last five games, and And it's funny because you don't want to put too much on this kid, but I actually think what's interesting about him is that there's something else. He's just different. He's different off the floor. There's a long way to go. I mean, I lived through Flip Murray. Does anybody remember Flip Murray? No. Well, maybe that should be my point, is that nobody remembers Flip Murray. So I let me tell the Flip Murray story for a moment of caution. Now, to Flip Murray's credit, he ended up spending like 8 years in the NBA. But Flip Murray went to, it's a little different because Flip Murray went to Milwaukee in 2002, 2003, and didn't really do anything. He was a second round draft pick. He didn't come nearly as you know, pubbed and thought. But he came to the Sonics in 2003, 2004, maybe 2003, 2004. And he opened the year scoring 24, 22, 24, 24, 29, 20, 16, 26, 31, 26, 21. He was playing 40 minutes a night, and he was just incredible. Like, what a run that is, right? He'd hardly played. I think he was a second-round draft pick and out of Shaw University, maybe undrafted. He 15th game to his 25th game of his NBA career because he barely played his rookie year, and he comes out of it and he's averaging 24 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. He's shooting 50%, 39% from 3. I mean, you think you've got the next coming. He's getting assists, and then it just all falls apart. Like, the scouting reports get to him. I think his teammates honestly hated playing with him. Which I don't think is the case in Donovan. But, like, it all falls apart. In the next 70 games, he shoots 40%. He plays 22 minutes. He averages 11 points a game. He scores over 20 only, like, 5, 6, 7 times. So, there's got to be a level of caution still on just anointing Donovan Mitchell. Sorry. I think I've done that once before. Somebody tweeted at me once I made that mistake. So there's got to be just that now. With that said, and Donovan's personality, upbringing, uniqueness to who he is, charisma makes me feel a little less worried about this. But let's just remember the Flip Murray story. In the last 5 games compared to his first 5, which is just, this is, and now let me say, I do think that today is the beginning of the next step. Like, I think Donovan Mitchell is the front page of the scouting report tonight for Brent Brown. Like, he'll come off the bench, but I actually think they'll spend a huge amount of the scouting report on this kid. So in his first 5 games, he shot 25% and 17% from 3. In his last 5 games, he has scored 20 points a game, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. He is shooting 46% from the field, 44% from 3. That's quite the turn of events. In that time period, he did have 5 turns the other day. He has 12 turnovers, 5 in one game, then 0, 2, 0, 5. And in previous, when he was just way out of control, he had 11. So the turnovers actually haven't gone down because he's had 2 bad games, but it feels better. Digging into a little bit of what's happened with Donovan. So obviously the 3 ball is starting to fall, specifically the above the break 3. Okay, so he is 13 of his last 29 on an above-the-break 3. Rookies generally struggle above the break. He was 3 of his first 16. He's now 13 of 29. He's also making them off the dribble, which is an incredibly difficult shot. The best in the NBA last year off the dribble were C.J. McCollum, Kyle Lowry, and Eric Gordon. I think he's got a little Kyle Lowry, Eric Gordon to him. In the mid-range, which is still never a great shot, he started 1 of 10, and he's 4 of his last 11. in the around the rim, which is the most impressive thing to me, because at first he got swatted like five times in the opening day, and then his next problem is he was pulling back and not going to the rim, and like you just saw it all building. You're like, oh, wow, this could be ugly. I mean, there was like game five, you're like, we might have to pull him out of the rotation, right? Like that's where he was. He was 6 of 17 at the rim in the first stretch of the season. He's 14 of his last 22. That's the number to watch. This development in a span of 10 games, and it's all we have, so it would be a lot better if it was a span of 20 or in a game 30 and before, you know, and as I, you know, even Flip Murray. I mean, that Flip Murray run, you might not have heard of Flip Murray, but that Flip Murray run I'm talking about right there, go look at it. It's every bit as good as what Donovan's doing right now, if not better. This rookie class is unbelievable. That's part of what's, you know, making it. I'm a big believer in that, right? When Trey Burke was struggling and you looked and you didn't have a lot of guys below him in the draft that were playing well, you began to wonder. It's a little bit of, you know, I have pretty high hopes on Dante. It's really sad he got hurt. The stories of what Dante was doing this summer that aren't really out there that much in some of the pickup games and when he was playing and how well he was playing are pretty exciting. But you get a little nervous on him when you look at that draft and you see that most of the guys below him have not materialized. Nonetheless, Donovan's pretty exciting. And you can kind of walk through it and say, wait a sec, look at his development. So freshman year at Louisville, he scores 7 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. Sophomore year of Louisville, he jumps from 7 points to 16, 3 rebounds to 5. All right, so he's done this before. Even dig into a little bit of his sophomore year where he has a different role. He starts at a different – and then he finishes the ACC averaging 20 points a game in the final 9 or 10 ACC games. You know, you go back, he's the MVP of the Jordan Brand Classic, 30 points, 9 steals in that game. He's undersized, but he's so long, and maybe length is all that matters. Like, it's just really exciting. And – if you've listened to the Get to Know Donovan Mitchell and you've spent that kind of time, it's equally as exciting just because of who he is as a person. And that leads you to believe this is really real. He's so bright. He's so well thought out. He's so engaged. He's so fearless. He went to one of the elite high schools in the country until he transferred for basketball purposes. And in that time, you can just tell that he approaches a basketball game like he does a history class. He just knows how to prepare. He knows how to get ready. He knows how to learn. It's impressive. I hope this does not happen to you, but if you are in an auto accident and you are suddenly in a situation where you need someone to take care of you, you've got to make sure nothing terrible happens to you, whether it's injury or recover from injury or injury leading to job issues or wanting to make sure that you get what's fair to you, then the answer in that circumstance is to reach out to Matt and the Utah Advocates. UtahAdvocates.com, car accident lawyers, personal injury attorneys. And the interesting thing to me when talking to Matt was the passion that he has toward the system that they've built. One, they'll get you good results. Two, they'll make sure nothing bad happens. Three, they'll treat you very, very well. What they've done is they've mapped out the best experience. And then if you think it from a sports standpoint, they have like their role players, their special teams players. So they've got their sharpshooter off the bench who goes and gets the medical records. They've got the other sharpshooter, you know, they got the defensive specialist who goes and deals with the insurance companies. So the lawyer talks to you within 60 seconds and deals with you and it's his case or her case. And they're working with you on through the case, but they also are putting you through a checklist that they have built through all their years of 25 years, 106 steps, because accidents are different. The process is the same. They have the process that is efficient. That efficiency means productivity, means communication, means expediting the process for you. Experts at their tasks. They have their defensive player, their sharpshooting three-point shooter, their energy off the bench. Those are their role players that make it so that their star players, their lawyers, can get you what you need as the customer. Less than 1% go to trial. 3% go to arbitration. So you need to make sure that you're with someone who's experienced and knows how to walk you through the system and to do it efficiently and let you know where you are. That's Utah Advocates. You can call them at 801-336-4272. That's, or just go to utahadvocates.com. I wanted to walk around the NBA for a minute or two. I just have noticed a few things I thought were interesting and wanted to share them. One is last night, the Golden State Warriors beat Miami by 17. No big deal. They're at home. You expected them to win. On a night in which Steph Curry and Klay Thompson made 10 of 34 shots. The Warriors last night, who are, you know, maybe the greatest offensive team ever put together, had an effective field goal percentage of 43%. League average is 51. Their offensive rating was a 96.9 last night. Like 100's the worst in the league. 107 is basically average, or 106.5. And 110 is where they usually are. So they had an awful offensive night last night against the Miami Heat's athletes and defense. And they won by 20. They held Miami to 79.9. It's incredible. Last night's the night where, to me, that's what defines the greatness of the Warriors. A night where you just didn't expect. They can just beat you in so many ways. Boston won their ninth in a row on Locked On NBA. We have an interview with John Corrales, biggest stories in the NBA. We check in with John Corrales. We talk to Chris Manning in Cleveland, and we find out from Adam Mattis what's going on with the Denver Nuggets. That's all on Locked On NBA this week. The look of that, of Boston, they've won nine in a row. They're doing it defensively. Last night they didn't play defense. They just beat Atlanta offensively. They took the night off defensively. But this rookie class is incredible. Like, Jason Tatum is, as the scouts said, is probably the best non-Ben Simmons player. And we got to talk about Philly here in a second. Out there. But these guys are, Markelle Fultz is struggling, and Lonzo Ball is shooting below 30%, and there is some concern. But then look at some of the guys that are on fire. Tatum is at 50%, 53% from three. Josh Jackson's doing what rookies should do, which is 39%, 36% from three. But if you look kind of across the board, he's putting up pretty good numbers. De'Aaron Fox is averaging 13 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 41-27. Jonathan Isaac in Orlando's been really good, 48%. Lauri Markkanen's good, 16 points, 9 rebounds a game. They're bad, but he's good. Frank Ntilikina is at 36% where you'd expect. Dennis Smith is at 40% where you'd expect a rookie. Zach Collins hasn't scored yet. Malik Monk is at 33% where you'd expect a rookie. Luke Kennard's at 41%. Donovan Mitchell's at 38%, but we know a little bit more about that. Justin Jackson's playing well in Sacramento. TJ Leaf sprained his ankle brutally the other day, but looked good, really athletic. John Collins has been terrific for Atlanta, the 19th pick. I mean, this draft is really good. Kyle Kuzma, wow, 15.6 rebounds a game, starting, looking completely. And I think Jason Hart for LA is good, too. So this draft is really putting it together, and you've got, I think, three or four second-round picks that are getting 10 minutes a night. Dylan Brooks out of Oregon's playing 30 in Memphis. Semi Ojeleye in Boston's playing 15 a night, and Dwayne Bacon out of Florida State, I think, is starting and playing a ton. Frank Mason, by the way, in Sacramento, too. George Hill, the word is that he's been great off the court, underwhelming on the court, was the exact the word I got out of Sacramento talking to people. Philadelphia comes in. Ben Simmons is remarkable. Ben Simmons is really eye-openingly remarkable. Double figures in every game, two triple-doubles, 10 games of six games of 10-plus rebounds. He is 7 of 20 shooting outside the paint. He's not hit an NBA 3 yet. So he's 6'10", maybe 7 feet, plays point guard and just gets to where he wants to. Philadelphia is unique in the sense they dribble to pass rather than dribble to score. They move the ball beautifully. They come in as the 19th offense, 17th defense. They've won 4 in a row. They play super fast. They're the 4th best 3-point shooting team in the league. Robert Covington is probably the one to watch tonight. He's gone from one of the worst catch-and-shoot players in the NBA. In fact, he and TJ McConnell last year were the two worst catch-and-shoot guys in the league who took 250 catch-and-shoots or more. And they are both near 50% this year. Is that just Ben Simmons? Is that Joel Embiid who's not playing? Not sure. But it's an interesting thing to keep an eye on. And ask yourself this question. Would you go through 5 years of last in the league in offense, losing 23 more games than anyone else in the league so that you could have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid? 5 years. Worst team in the league. But you end up with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Do you do it? That is Locked On Jazz today. Have a great one. All part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you very much to Murdoch Hyundai as well as to the Utah Advocates for sponsoring today's show. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network.